Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
There's time for argument when you have to say, look, that's not the way it really happened. This is the way it happened. These are the facts, so that things can be brought out, brought up, and a verdict can be given. That's argument. It's getting to the bottom of truth, what really happened. But fights are personal. Fights are where name calling begins to happen. You take that big long shovel and dig into the past. And you start bringing things up that didn't happen this week or today, but they're relevant for this argument. And it's about winning. It's not about truth anymore.
Jesus was not afraid to enter into a good argument. He didn't shy away from engaging with the Pharisees when they came to him with their trick questions. How did Jesus keep these discussions from becoming fights? How did he not stoop to the Pharisees' level of name-calling? Today, Pastor Troy teaches us the difference between fighting and arguing. One is a method for uncovering truth, while the other is simply a means to personally attack the other individual. Jesus argued. He never fought. Now here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 8 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. In the Gospel of John, it helps us to see who Jesus really is. That's John's goal. That's his perspective in his gospel. He wants us to really understand who Jesus is. Perspective is very important, right? Because depending upon our perspective, it influences how we process and even interpret things. My perspective and that person's perspective, well, it causes us to make certain decisions based upon how we view something. And perspective is powerful. Let me read a letter that a girl wrote. She was going to college. She's a student. She wrote it to her parents because she wasn't, you know, her parents were high standard, high class, great expectations. And so she wrote this letter home. She said, "Dear Mom and Dad, I just thought that I'd drop you a note to clue you in on my plans. I've fallen in love with a guy named Jim. He quit high school after 11th grade to get married. After about a year, he got divorced. Well, we've been seeing each other. We've been going steady for 2 months, and we plan to get married in the fall. Until then, I've decided to move into his apartment. I think I might be pregnant. At any rate, I dropped out of school as of last week, although I'd like to finish college sometime in the future. Thank you for loving me and always being there for me." You can imagine the parents, what in the world is going on with our daughter? Well, she continues, "Dear Mom and Dad, I just want you to know that everything I've written thus far in the letter is false. None of it is true, but Mom and Dad, what is true is I only got a C in French, and I flunked math and will need money to cover taking the class again. Love, your daughter." So that's a girl who understands perspective. It softens the blow. When Mom and Dad expect perfection, you're getting a what? Well, in light of all of that, honey, how much does the math class cost? Take a couple of math class on us. She understands the power of perspective. Perspective makes a difference in how we say things, respond to things, react to life. Perspective. Well, from heaven's perspective, and that's what John is giving us in his gospel, Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. He's God Almighty in the flesh. But not from the perspective of those that Jesus is dealing with right now, the religious leaders. From their perspective, They're Abraham's descendants. They are the lead. They're the ones heaven-bound. They're the ones who are right. If somebody is in conflict with them, they're wrong, not them. The other person is wrong, and that would be Jesus in this case. If someone says something different, they're wrong because they are the descendants of Abraham. They just keep latching themselves on to Abraham, and Jesus will deal with that here in a moment. From their perspective, Jesus has disobeyed the Sabbath. Jesus has attached himself to uneducated, untrained in the scriptures, men, sinners, even sat with sinners and ate. And he's got a questionable birth, which they've continued to jab at. So to them, Jesus is a fake, liar, bad news, not the right guy to follow. So you can see that John's perspective, or Jesus's perspective, as he has shared who he is, has clashed with their perspective of who they see him or perceive him to be. And it causes some friction. It's already caused them to try to trap him by bringing up certain tests or situations, and Jesus just keeps giving the perfect answer, leaving them standing there going, we didn't expect him to say that. What are we going to say? They don't know how to defend themselves because it's kind of hard to defend yourself against truth. So what do they do? Well, they do what anyone does. They resort to name-calling. And that's what we see. They escalate things now, making it personal. Instead of arguing, they just start slinging the names, and they begin the name-calling. You know, if they would just allow themselves to accept heaven's perspective of who Jesus is, well, salvation could come to their soul. But they're so stuck in their perspective that they won't be changed. So let's look at three perspectives that we see here about who Jesus might be according to our text today. Look at verse 48. It says, "Then the Jews answered and said to him," to Jesus, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" So Jesus has been making certain claims, and he's very confident. And now all that he said, all that he's done, they're going, "Look, so obviously we're right. You're a Samaritan and a demon. You have a demon." So the first thing that they accuse him of being, and this is their perspective, is an evil imposter. An evil imposter. They were tired of losing the arguments. They've turned to name-calling now, and that's what they have for him. Now, let me first say, arguing. Arguing is actually good. And at this point, some of you might go, "Well, then we've got a really good marriage. We argue well and often." But let me explain. And I think I want to draw a line here in what arguing and fighting is, and it's different than what your line might be. Because our line of fighting is usually it turns to blows. I've thrown a shoe, or he's thrown the phone, that now we're fighting. But fighting actually begins long before that. Because there's a difference. See, the way we can stand or relate to one another is a few different ways. First, in agreement. We both agree. We agree and we walk and we talk about all that we agree upon or just talk about life. We agree. The second is in disagreement. I think this, you think that. Maybe we come to the conclusion, you know, we don't know for sure. You think that, I think this, and so that's fine. So we agree to disagree. We're in disagreement, but it's not come between us. Then there's argument. Argument is the next level. It takes disagreement to a next level, and that is, well, here's why I believe what I believe. Well, here's why I believe what I believe. It's giving an argument like we do in the legal system, right? They're arguing their case. And the goal of argument is to get to the truth. Well, here's my facts. Well, here's my facts. No, that's not true. I wasn't there. I was over here. Oh, okay. And that's argument. It should never escalate into loud voices. It should never escalate into violence. It should never escalate into throwing things. When it gets personal and escalates into those, you're fighting. You're not arguing. Arguing is good, but that's fighting. Kids don't mind a good argument, do they? They love it. They love to engage in a good argument. Well, why does so-and-so get to? That's argument. But in the end, like God says, see, God doesn't argue with us. It's like, I'm God. You need to do this. What do you say? Well, I think this would be better. Well, the bottom line is, I'm God. Do you not get it? And so you are going to do this. This is my plan for your life. In the same way, parents with their role can go, look, okay, the reason isn't because so-and-so did it and got in trouble, and that's why I don't. The reason is, I'm your parent, I don't want you to do it, and that's what I've said. There is no argument for that. That's a role issue. So you just got to be honest and say, look, within my role, this is the decision I'm going to make. And I don't want to argue about it, all the things that could happen, or debate about it. So that's a role issue, a role of submission in that. But there's time for argument when you have to say, look, that's not the way it really happened. This is the way it happened. These are the facts. So that things can be brought out, brought up, and a verdict can be given. That's argument. It's getting to the bottom of truth, what really happened. But fights are personal. Fights are where name-calling begins to happen. You take that big, long shovel and dig into the past, and you start bringing things up that didn't happen this week or today, but they're relevant for this argument. And it's about winning. It's not about truth anymore. It's about dodging the bullet. I want to do this. You wanted to do that. And so I'm going to fight, and we're going to argue, and we're going to try to get my will accomplished. Or get myself out of trouble. Because sometimes we resort to fighting. We get puffed up because we have been caught. What we did, we shouldn't have done. And so we get defensive. We try to throw the fighting distraction. Well, you! And you throw right away. Like, they've pinned you down. There you are. They go, hey, why were you? Well, you do this! And then there you go. And you're in a fight. You're not arguing. You're in a fight. Some are very quick to get there. It's maybe what they learned, what they saw in their parents. God forbid, but that's all they know.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, and book-by-book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. But argument is good. We should learn to argue well. Get to the bottom of things. What's true? But we should never escalate into fighting. Not in our homes, not in our churches, even in our court systems. The reason that it happens there is because lying is going on. Lying and thieving and manipulation. If it was really all about getting to the truth and not winning a case, we'd present the facts and we would make a verdict. But it's about loopholes and lying and getting by with things, and we have learned to try to live that way. Arguing is good. We should learn to argue and argue well. Fighting is always bad. No Christian ever looks good fighting after a fight. Even if you win, you never look good. So fighting, have you seen people fight? It's not pretty. They can never look good. And so we should not try to engage in fighting. Jesus does not engage in the fighting that he's getting drawn into. So they begun to try to trap Jesus in his words. The crowds are against him, but they have no answer for him. I mean, how do you argue with what's true? Here's the truth. No, I'm not doing this. You're just mad and you've called me names. That's not the truth. Here's the truth. You can't argue with truth when the facts are laid out. And now, just before they pick up stones, they begin throwing out the name calling. They say, you are a Samaritan and you have a demon. Now to us, it's like, ooh, I'm a Samaritan. But for them, that's a pretty low blow. You got to understand the Jewish mind when it came to the Samaritan. They hated the Samaritans so much that they would actually, and I'll try to do it from your perspective, it's all about perspective today, right? So that they would, from the north in Galilee, they had to go through Samaria if they were going to get to Judea, Judah, where the temple is in Jerusalem. So you had to go through there. Or you could cross the Jordan River. Remember, that's a pretty hefty thing. Then go way down out of your way, then cross the Jordan River a second time, and then go to Jerusalem. Well, that's what they opted for every time. No self-respected Jew would ever go through Samaria and defile themselves with even the dust from that place. So, to be called a Samaritan, and here's another thing. Remember the woman at the well? She was a Samaritan. She had two strikes against her. And she asked Jesus when he came through, why do you, a Jew, speak to me, a Samaritan woman? Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. This is amazing that you're even having this conversation with me, was what she was saying. One, I'm a female. Men aren't usually talking to the women alone. But then I am a Samaritan. You're a Jew. That just does not happen. So, the Jews saw the Samaritans as religious frauds. The Samaritans had their own rival temple where they worshipped at Mount Gerizim. They offered their own sacrifices. They were a picture of the Jews, really, almost like an imitation, and the Jews hated it. And the Jews wanted no part of them. They had their own teachings, which conflicted with the teachings taught in Jerusalem. And then consider Jesus now. They call him a Samaritan. You're a Samaritan. Well, he did not make every effort to avoid going through Samaria, did he? In fact, he went through Samaria. No self-respecting, godly Jew would do that. But Jesus did that. Not only that, but he stopped and ministered there, like being helpful, compassion, cared for them, ministered. And then if that weren't low enough, do you remember he told a parable of the good Samaritan? And that's blasphemous to the Jewish mind. There is no good Samaritan. And then not only in the parable was there a good Samaritan, but they were the bad guys. So Jesus is like a Samaritan sympathizer. He's a religious fraud. He's on their side. He wouldn't know the truth if it hit him in the face. That's what they're saying about Jesus. That's their perspective, and they resorted to the name calling in order to call Jesus a fraud and an imposter. Also, they say that he has a demon. So, and he has a demon. We're right about this, because there were some miraculous activities taking place in Jesus' ministry. And so, to explain that, they say he's a fraud, he's a fake, and it's demonic activity, it's demonic help that he's getting. Yeah, there's no denying it's not supernatural, but it's not God. So they're calling him out as a fraud, an evil imposter. And look at Jesus' response. Jesus answered, verse 49, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he shall never see death. So he's sharing some truth. Instead of getting stuck in defensive mode, they're getting all petty and name-calling with Jesus. He navigates towards what is true. He shares the truth with them. They say he's got a demon, that he's dishonoring the Father, but Jesus says that's not true at all. I'm honoring the Father. In fact, the opposite is true. You are dishonoring the Father because you dishonor me, and I carry his words. The truth. That's good argument. Good argument with some emotion. It's not fighting, because he's laying out the truth. He's not name-calling. He's not slinging things. He's not bringing up. He is just saying, here is the truth of the situation that you have brought up. You know, Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And how quick some are to turn to harsh words. getting defensive or something, like if being wrong is the worst thing that's ever happened to you. Being caught is the worst thing that's ever, and then you go right after somebody. Chill out, you're wrong. Chill out, you were caught. Or chill out, it's a mistake. But chill out. You don't have to get so violently abrasive. Let the facts come out. Learn to be a good arguer, but let argument lead to truth, because I hope that's what we all want. Isn't it foolish for the world to want anything but truth? I mean, it may not agree with you, but it's really nice to know that even though I don't want a bomb in the building, if there is one, it's good to know so I can get out. Like you could say, there's a bomb in the building. Well, that offends me. That offends me. I was just starting to do, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care about a bomb in the building. But the same thing happens with the world and the end. There's a time coming, a judgment coming. Well, I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm not a bad person. No one's saying you're a bad person. And if you're saying they're bad people, that's not our argument. Your argument isn't that they're a bad person. There's great people out there better than you who are going to hell. So our argument, we have nothing to stand on if we're calling them bad people. That's what God says. We can say this. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't care how good, bad, or indifferent you are, there is one way, and that is it. And if you don't have a relationship with Him, you can be as good as you want to be, but you will not go to heaven. That's the truth, and that can be said in love without calling names and everything else. So we've been given all we need to argue well in the Scriptures and in truth. Truth and love. Truth can be given with love, but defending yourself can never really be given in love because we switch modes. We get defensive. We get aggressive. And we've got to be very careful. It's the soft answer that turns away wrath or avoids the fighting, the escalation. Instead of digging up dirt and fighting, bring out the facts. Bring out the truth. And don't turn things either. So they say, hey, we caught you. You weren't where you said you were going to be. Instead of going, well, you've done it. The argument about you is still true. But all you've done is turned and brought up another argument. You think it's easy to end something when you're adding to it? No. But now, have you ever been in a fight? Argument, which you know now is a fight? Have you ever been in one of those? And after about 15 minutes, you don't even know what this was all about in the first place? How did this even start? Because you're not on point. You've been fighting, not arguing. Because a good argument stays on point. It deals with the subject at hand. And that's what Jesus does. He not only deflects their words, but instead of jumping in and fighting with them, He offers the path of reconciliation. He says, look, not only are my words not honoring to the Lord, but if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Here's the path to life, guys. They could have taken it. So while they're fighting, Jesus is still focused on offering life, truth. Jesus is no imposter. He's no evil imposter. He's the only real deal. He's the one who offers and gives true life.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than the other Gospel books, John introduced his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man, as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the messages to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have